Measurement of water contents in the field have been plagued by a variety of problems, especially in fine textured soils, including overestimation of water contents in the high range, underestimation of water contents in the low range, temperature dependencies, and all this has been magnified by long cable lengths. And our motivation for this study was to try and improve some of the measurements in the field to make the installation of these systems worth the effort. Temperature dependencies come about partly because the static dielectric constant of water is dependent on temperature. The fractional water with restricted rotational mobility is dependent on temperature. And also dielectric relaxation times in bulk EC are dependent on temperature. And these losses affect the apparent permittivity. Also, we have the problem of frequency dependence of the phase velocity and, of course, attenuation. And our objective for this study was to develop a framework to estimate soil water content using TDR for routine calibration and field use. And field measured quantities would include, in this calibration, apparent permittivity or the travel time measurements, bulk EC, and temperature. And it would be based on a single effective frequency rather than the entire frequency range. And also, it should be able to consider cable and interconnect effects. We should be able to calibrate it in the lab and be able to use it in the field using different interconnects and longer cables. What we're trying to measure is the apparent permittivity of the soil as a function of water content. And as I indicated before, we want to use a single frequency to represent the entire frequency range. And we call this effective frequency or centroid frequency. We use a four-component dielectric mixing model to evaluate complex permittivity. Here I've shown the Virchak equation or the power law equation. And air and soil permittivities are considered to be real valued, and water and boundwater permittivities are complex. And you might have noticed at the end here are the bulk EC losses. And we've added these separately because we're measuring bulk EC. They're not included in the mixing equation. Complex permittivities of free water were calculated using the single Debye relaxation process. Bound water at a distance from the mineral surface was calculated using a relaxation time by Oren Wraith, and we took this relaxation time to calculate complex permittivity based on a single Debye relaxation. We took these results, which is a function of distance from the mineral surface, and integrated it from the surface to a maximum of a half a nanometer, which corresponds to about 1 to 2 water molecules. And this we obtained, in this way we obtained the geometric mean. This gives a smooth transition. We have to get at a measurement or estimate mean or effective frequency to estimate the apparent permittivity. And we all know bandwidth frequency declines during propagation in this type of media. Bandwidth changes not only as a result of frequency-dependent attenuation. Can come about because of coaxial transmission losses, dielectric relaxation losses, and conductive losses in heterogeneous media. And it's important to recognize that not all losses are frequency dependent. Attenuation can be calculated using the wave equation for planes. However, we need to modify this to account for frequency-dependent behavior of the real part of conductivity in heterogeneous materials, which has been shown quite succinctly by Logsdon and Laird. Here we just make the simple assumption or approximation that bulk EC in soils is a linear function of frequency, and that the transition frequency just adjust the slope or the strength of this relationship. Now, with this attenuation defined, we can look at the centroid frequency downshift And this is a statistical approach that was developed initially for attenuation tomography in tissues in the early 70s. And given an input amplitude spectrum approximated by the PDF of an exponential distribution, which is a step input pulse with mean frequency omega sub s, and an attenuation filter with exponential decay, then we can calculate an effective frequency omega sub r of the attenuated pulse using the integral formula for the first moment. Now all this is just this equation applied in a graphical form. And we have two types of pulses, the Gaussian pulse and then a step impulse or a exponential distribution. Let's look at the Gaussian pulse. This is the initial pulse. This, the dashed line in blue, is the attenuated pulse. So we see that we get our attenuation and there's a shift in the mean frequency. And the same occurs for the exponential distribution, except it's not very apparent. I'd like to point out that we are using the step input pulse or the exponential distribution for this study, not the Gaussian. I just used the Gaussian to explain or show how this works in practice, you know, in a graphical form. For this study, we used Pullman AP and BT horizons. These are clay loam and clay soils. The soils were packed in columns, large columns, about 20 centimeters in diameter, and we adjusted the water contents using a couple methods. Once we had the columns equilibrated at a certain temperature, then we measured our TDR, measured our travel time. So we had three temperatures, 8, 22, and 41 degrees C. We achieved three bandwidth frequencies using different cable lengths between the Tektronix 1502C cable tester and the multiplexer. So we were able to achieve three frequencies, or mean frequencies, 0.72 to 3.72 radians gigahertz. We measured this using pulse rise times at the end of the cable. We measured apparent permittivity from travel time using the TACQ program of Evett. Now we predicted apparent permittivity with measurements of water content, bulk EC, bulk density, temperature, and the input centroid frequency. Attenuation was approximated based on low loss dielectrics, and we fitted three parameters for the power law model and two parameters for the Delort model. And we minimized the objective function based on the square root of the apparent permittivity. These are the fitted results for the RG812 meter and RG5812 meter cables together. And with the sum of square errors, slightly lower for the power law mixing model. The specific surface area, the fitted specific surface area, seems to be reasonable for the power law model, given that we have about 40% smectite. 40% of the clay is smectite in these soils. The alpha value, which is the power law exponent, ranges from about 0.61 to 0.68, which is very typical in previous fits with this model for soils. And lastly, the transition frequency was higher for the soil with less clay. This is a plot of the predicted versus measured permittivity. The red symbols are the 41 degree temperatures, the blue symbols are the 8 degree temperatures, and the green is room temperature. And we've gotten a fairly good fit for most of the results, except for possibly at high water contents using the high loss cable and at high temperatures, where we had a lot of signal attenuation. And this is, in order to compare our model with other models, we need to Define bulk C as a function of water content temperature, which we have done here. And we've gotten a fairly good result. So applying this equation, we can get a comparison of water content with apparent permittivity in the form of a curve. And the first thing you might notice is that TOPS equation falls right along the room temperature, and this is for the low-loss cable, which is probably the conditions under which this calibration was developed. Another thing you might notice is that apparent permittivity is relatively insensitive to water content in the low range. And of course, bulk or bound water has a relatively low permittivity, so we would expect this. If we ignore bulk EC, we overestimate water contents. If we ignore bound water, we underestimate water contents. Now this graph was produced by using the fitted results of the previous cable, the RG8 cable, and applying that to predict the response for the RG58 12 meter cable. So all we've done here is change the input frequency from 2.68 to 0.72. And this gives a fairly reasonable fit. Notice that the TOPS equation now corresponds to the 8-degree curve, and all the curves have been shifted downward and to the right. In this last graph, I'm showing angular frequency that we've calculated as a function of loss tangent, which is also calculated in the model. And as the loss tangent increases, we get less and less frequency-dependent attenuation. And out here at these high loss tangents, about 1.5, most of the signal has been attenuated. We don't have much of a signal left. In conclusion, temperature response in the fine textured soil depended both on bound water and bulk EC. We found that water contents were relatively insensitive to permittivity in these clay textured soils, especially the BT horizon. And calibration was successfully applied to different cabling setup. I'd like to point out that accurate water content estimation using this calibration will still depend on the accuracy of the determination of travel time. If there are any questions, I can respond to them now.
Coffee hasn't kicked in yet. Oh, good. Gary's got it.
Gary.
If your surface area parameter isn't, aren't you worried that that's going to be something that's now dependent on water content and EC, and you just replace one parameter with another because your notion of the thickness of the bottom layer and the change is going to make it up?
Well, because of the way it's fitted. Yes, yes. What it's going to be is the surface area that we're estimating is really dependent on both the clay and the cations in the soil solution, and it's going to be complicated, right? Yes.
Yeah, I'm interested in the bound water.
Yes. Right. We account for it using the Orr and Wraith method to calculate dielectric relaxation frequency for bound water. They did that as a function of the distance from the surface. And as the water molecule gets further and further away from the surface, essentially what happens is the permittivity increases. And we've tried to model that in our equations.
Thanks very much. I think we'll move on. Yeah.